serve you. I received a gift from God, as you've already heard, but only so that I could share it freely with you. That gift, a secret revealed to me, forms the heart of this letter. As you read on, you'll be able to join the dots and see the big picture about Jesus. Hidden to earlier generations, the Holy Spirit has now made it known to those he sent to proclaim the good news. This open secret is that God now invites Gentiles as well as Jews to inherit together the vast riches of Jesus Christ, to become one in him, and together take hold of his promises. God chose me to explain his rescue plan for all people. Having experienced God's grace and power myself, even though I'm the last person to deserve the privilege of doing so, I'm giving my life to enlighten everyone about the love of the God who made us. God designed the church to showcase God's wisdom and beauty to the whole creation and the heavenly realms, and Jesus has made this eternal plan a reality. Trusting Jesus gives us the keys to God's kingdom. He invites us to make ourselves at home with him. So don't lose heart on my account. I suffer for your good and for the gospel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Rosemary, very much indeed. Why don't you just pray for me and for yourselves as we prepare to learn together and be reshaped together by the Word and the Spirit of God. Amen. This really is a one-point talk this morning. And the reason I wanted my own version of Ephesians 3 to be read was for this verse that's going to be up, verse 10, which will be on the screens. God designed the church to showcase his wisdom and beauty. You and I are part of God's showcase. In the NIV, it says to reveal his manifold wisdom. Sorry, I seem to be booming a bit, Chris, if you can lose my echo, that would be wonderful. No, you can't, never mind. You can just listen to it twice, that's perfect. So, the showcase this. In the NIV, it says the manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold in the Greek means multicolored, and it was a designation of beauty. So I could have rendered this God's beautiful wisdom. But actually in the Greek, it can work both ways, wisdom and beauty, or beautiful wisdom. But I simply want to make this point, as Paul does, that that is the purpose for the church. And I wonder how it leaves you feeling. Daunted? Excited? Where do we begin? Actually, this isn't the only place in Scripture where we get the sense that God wants to use his followers to display his nature. Right back at the beginning in Deuteronomy, and we're going to have these words on the screens as well. Obey God's commands completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, "How wise and prudent are the people of this great nation." For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I'm giving you today? So back to our verse 10 in Ephesians 3. God designed the church to showcase his beautiful wisdom. Now let's just take that at face value. Let's take it that Paul means what he says, that the Holy Spirit made no mistake but actually designed this portion of Scripture to say that, that whatever translation you prefer, God wants the church to reveal his wisdom to planet Earth. And what does that look like for us? If we take it to the logical conclusion, it means that the world should be looking to the church for the answers to the problems it cannot overcome. And I believe in certain parts of the world, and even here in Bristol, we're beginning to see little signs of that. So in our housing crisis, which is significant here in Bristol, particularly a crisis of affordable housing, Homes England, which is the biggest provider and biggest generator of new homes and advises and is advising Bristol City Council, said an extraordinary thing when they came to visit and they met with church leaders. And it was simply this: we know how to build houses. We do not know how to create community. But that is what the church does. Will you show us? That's an extraordinary thing. And that is an opportunity for the church of God to showcase the beautiful wisdom of God. Paul is convinced that in the church, God has placed his fullness, has displayed himself, has poured out his presence and his power, so that we might be and have the solution to the problems facing our world. Now just think back a week. I don't know how many of you were here to hear Jane Akaloe, who heads up Tear Fund's community transformation projects across Uganda, with whom we are linked. She was speaking at the 10 and the 5. If you missed last week, can I encourage you just to listen to one of those talks? Inspirational about the way that God's people across Uganda and now Kenya and now Tanzania and now other countries are being enabled to transform communities. Communities are looking to the people of God for the answers that their community needs, to tackle the problems that their communities face. And I wonder whether you heard, as you listened to Jane Akaloe, or if you do listen to her, whether you will hear the echoes of our teaching here at Christchurch. We shouldn't be surprised that the language is the same, because God is doing the same things across the whole earth. Did you hear when Jane said their opening Bible study goes to the very heart of identity, so much that we have talked about? That it is when you discover who God has made you to be, that you're not just, a mutant gene competing to be the top of the genetic tree in a universe without meaning, where your existence is without purpose. You're actually a specially designed child of God, just as I prayed over Beatrice. That's who you are. You've got a good father who loves you, who's designed you to change the world, one person, one city, one nation at a time. And so the language that we hear from Uganda is the same as the language that we are being inspired to speak about here. God's people changing communities. Did you hear, as you listened to Jane, that she talked about the way that family is created as people meet with God? Did you notice that having discovered identity, people's purpose is released and they're empowered to transform culture? The beautiful wisdom of God is showcased by God's people. And you may remember she talked about the obstacles that people in Uganda discuss when they look at the problems facing them. Basic needs: not enough money coming in to send children to school, the violence, the corruption, the lack of clean drinking water. And then the question, well, what do we have in our hands? And starting with that, I want us to take inspiration from our brothers and sisters in Uganda. We all exist in multiple communities. There are the streets where we live. There are the families that may be close-knit or far-flung. There are workplace or learning communities. There are communities of leisure. There are communities to which we travel for different things. We're all in a web of communities. And we will not be blind to the problems facing those communities. And my simple message today, do you know, I always feel awkward when I feel I've been sent out with a really simplistic message. I don't know why, I just feel I ought to be giving more, but it is just so simplistic that you and I are sent into the world to showcase his beautiful wisdom. His wisdom, which is greater than any other wisdom on the planet. God genuinely does have the answer to all the earth's problems. Surely we believe that, do we not? Mm-hmm. And the church is called to showcase. And it's beautiful wisdom because it transforms communities for good. It makes communities taste better. It brings about transformation. And that's why the church is left on earth. So I'm simply going to suggest two practical things we can do. And the first, you may already have seen it. There'll be something sent out. I'm going to send a number of things to everybody tomorrow morning. I am never quite sure whether everybody gets the sermon notes, but I'm going to send them with this little challenge to take up positivity for Lent, to give up negativity for Lent, a negativity fast. Okay? Now you're looking a bit more interested. I've been involved with a group of church leaders for a number of months now, looking at how Christians can help Bristol become a more positive place, particularly in social media. City councils have advisors on the use of social media. And the one that advises Bristol City Council advises, I can't remember whether it's half a dozen or a dozen other cities around the country. And he says, without a doubt, Bristol is the worst for the negativity that runs through its veins, if I may put it like that. And so we've been meeting together, people from churches across the city, just looking at how we can help Bristol be different, how we can change that. And if you were listening to BBC Radio Bristol the other day, you may have heard our mayor, Marvin Rees, launch this campaign. Interestingly, it's got the attention of the mainstream media. The Post have picked it up. BBC Points West have picked it up. There's an interest in whether we can make a difference. Now, we're not saying that the way we're doing this, a website is being created where people can upload positive stories about life in the city. It's not that we want to pretend we don't have problems. It's just we want to enable people to speak life over our city rather than death and cursing. And if you're into social media and if you read some of the stuff that comes out on Twitter and social media about our city, it is cursing. There's no other way to put it or to talk about it. Now, on the thing I'll send out to you tomorrow, you can find all the different places you can do this. You can find the website, you can find the Twitter feed, and so on. Our world is riddled with negativity. Our world desperately needs God's love. And so during this season of Lent, we're inviting everyone, not just Christians, everyone in our city, into an experiment to fast from negativity and to speak positive life over our city, our workplaces, and our communities. Now, I think that every single one of us can contribute to that. And I see no dissent in the room. I mean, even if it's one thing, you just say, I want to say this positive thing about life here in Bristol. You can share your thoughts and ideas on the various Twitter feeds that you can find, and they'll be in the notes. And secondly, if our church is to showcase God's beautiful wisdom, we have to attend to our life together. I've used this analogy before. One of the things when you're taking weddings here at Christchurch, I'm waiting for an accident between cars because when the bride arrives, every head turns. And you've probably heard me say this before, but I think just about the only bride that doesn't turn heads is too often the bride of Christ, God's church. If we really did showcase God's beautiful wisdom, if it was Christians, if it was the church, with all humility and all self-offering and self-sacrifice, began to deliver solutions to the problems that beset our communities and our cities and our nations, the bride of Christ would turn heads once again. So the other thing I'm going to send out to you is, and some of you will have seen me do this before, the one another sayings in the New Testament. Is anybody familiar with those from me before? No? Okay, well, this will be a good refresher. And I don't know how this is going to work, but actually I'm going to show them to you. And I'm just going to encourage you. I'm not going to speak them because I just, my sense is, anyway. And I'm just going to, I think I've got the clicker. And this is going to lead us into communion. So there's quite a lot of them, and I'll send out the sheet. On one side, you'll have the complete list in biblical order. It's every time in the New Testament, the little phrase, one another or each other, occurs. And then on the second side of the sheet will be just the way that I've divided them up. So I'm just going to lead through these. And there's some questions that go with the sermon notes, as always. What one jumps out at you? The key question is, what ones is the Spirit of God asking you to address? So let's just go through these briefly. As I get ready for communion, I just invite you to spend a few moments with whatever of those one another sayings struck home to you, and begin the work of praying into it and asking God's Spirit to change you in whatever way he wants.